Our final foray into the archive of Stephen Roy brings our quick dive into F1 history to a close. If you've missed any of the episodes, I recommend checking the other four out, and you can find links to the original posts on sidepodcast.com.
Jim, who? There are people who believe that the thing that sets F1 apart from other classes of racing is technology. The theory is F1 has the best people and has always had the technological lead. Only F1 could have ever made the great breakthroughs in technology that have taken us from barely modified road cars to cars that in theory at least could run upside down on the ceiling. Every time a piece of technology is outlawed, we get howls of protest that F1 won't be F1 anymore because F1 must have better technology than other classes. Of course, all of this is based on a false premise. F1 has not always led all other classes, and at times, F1 has been behind road car design. It has also been argued by the same people recently that US F1 has no chance of succeeding because American racing technology is, and always has been, a long way behind European racing technology. It has been argued that only a genius of Colin Chapman's stature, working in the unique pressure cooker environment of F1, could have shaped the underside of the car to produce ground effect aerodynamics. Except that's not true. It was beaten to that technology by Jim Hall. Jim who? The thing that made Chapman's ground effect Lotus 79 so special were the side skirts fitted to the car to seal it to the ground. Only a Chapman in F1 could do that. Except that's not true either. Jim who did that before Chapman as well? Only a genius of Gordon Murray's standing, having to find an answer to Colin Chapman's ground effect Lotus, could have come up with a revolutionary idea like the Brabham fan car. Except that's not true either. Jim who did that too? Only a genius like John Barnard, working under the pressures that only F1 can exert, could have invented the semi-automatic gearbox. Except that's not true. You guessed it. Jim who did that as well? Jim Hall, was born in Abilene, Texas, on July the 23rd, 1935. His family were very wealthy oil people, so Jim enrolled at the California Institute of Technology to study geology. A month before he was due to start his course, his parents and sister were killed in a private plane crash. Jim inherited $15 million and went off to university while his brothers ran the family business. The family firm sponsored Carroll Shelby, and while at college, Jim became interested in racing and Shelby taught him race driving. Jim started racing his brothers Austin Healey and changed his course from geology to mechanical engineering. After graduation, he worked in the family oil business while financing Shelby's sports car business and his own racing programs. Hall's racing eventually led him to F1. In 1960, 61 and 62, he hired a Lotus to compete in the USGP. He failed to start one race, retired from another, and finished a lap down in 7th in 1960. In 1963, he contested the full F1 season in a British racing partnership, Lotus 24. His best results were 6th place, 2 laps behind the leaders at Silverstone, and 5th, 1 lap down at the Nürburgring. Hall did not enter the final round of the championship in South Africa, and turned his back in F1 to return home to run his Chaparral sports car company, which he set up at the end of 1960. Hall had set up Chaparral Cars Incorporated with Hap Sharp in Midland, Texas in 1962. From the start, Chaparral produced fast and innovative cars. Chaparral 2 was a mid-engine car with a semi-monocoque fiberglass chassis. Towards the end of 1963, Hall took Chaparral 2 to Riverside for its race debut. He took pole possession and quickly built a substantial lead before an electrical problem ended its race. In 64, Hall won the United States Road Racing Championship, with the car taking 7 wins from 25 starts. The following season was one of utter domination, with 16 wins from 21 starts, including a win against the top international field in the Sebring 12 Hours. For 1966, Jim introduced not one, but 2 new sports cars. Chaparral 2D competed in the World Endurance Championship, winning the Nürburgring 1000 km in the hands of 1961 F1 world champion Phil Hill and Swedish ace Joachim Bonnier. The Chaparral 2E was entered in the Can-Am Championship. This was a very high-level sports car championship which took place between Canada and the USA, hence Can-Am. Many F1 drivers, including the likes of Jackie Stewart, competed in it, and McLaren, over the life of the championships, built its best cars. Rules were few and far between, giving someone like Hall the chance to indulge his innovative streak. Chaparral 2E had its radiators in the side pods, rather than its traditional location in the nose. Its most striking feature was a huge rear wing mounted on struts. By taking the radiator from the nose, Hall was able to shape the front of the car to generate downforce. Bear in mind, this all happened in 1966 before F1 cars had side pods and still had the radiators in the nose, and when the only aerodynamic aim of F1 designers was to cut drag and reduce frontal area. In addition, Hall fitted a pedal which could be used to adjust the rear wing and the ducts in the front of the car. As the car came onto the straight, the pedal flattened the wing and closed the ducting, give less drag. And at the end of the straight, the driver pressed the pedal to open the front ducts, raise the wing, and create maximum downforce. 2E was more advanced than its opponents, but had a 5.3-litre engine while many of its rivals had 7-litre motors. It won only one race at Laguna Seca, with Phil Hill driving. Hall's magnum opus was the Chaparral 2J of 1970. This was a car that was so far ahead of its time, it's ridiculous. It pioneered technologies that would be hailed as breakthroughs in F1 nearly two decades later. In 1977, Colin Chapman introduced the F1 world to ground effect aerodynamics by shaping the underside of the Lotus 78 to produce downforce. The Chaparral did that 7 years earlier. In 1978, Chapman's Lotus 79 featured side skirts, which created a seal to the ground and massively increased the downforce that could be generated. The Chaparral 2J had skirts 8 years earlier. Also in 1978, to combat the Lotus 79, Gordon Murray used a substantially increased engine fan on the Brabham BT46B to suck air from under the car to produce downforce. 8 years earlier, the Chaparral 2J had two fans driven by a snowmobile engine, which did the same job. Perhaps the most advanced feature of the Chaparral 2J was the semi-automatic gearbox. It would be 19 years before John Barnard's Ferrari 640 introduced such a device to F1. Despite, or perhaps because of all this technology, the 2J was anything but a success on a track. It frequently qualified in pole by more than 2 seconds, such was the performance advantage. However, poor mechanical reliability, no doubt partly due to the stresses caused by all that downforce, meant the results were poor. At the end of its first season, before the reliability could be sorted, the SCCA banned the car. Like so many of Colin Chapman's innovations in F1, the car was legal, but the organising body gave in to pressure from other teams who simply couldn't compete with it. Chaparral moved into IndyCars, and in 1978, Alan Sir Jr. won the Indianapolis 500 with a Chaparral-prepared Lola. In 1979, Al Unser led the race in the John Barnard-designed ground effect Chaparral 2K. And in 1980, the 2K won the 500s in the hand of Johnny Rutherford. That was the last Chaparral car. After taking some time away from racing, Jim Hall returned to run customer IndyCars via Jim Hall Racing, but was never as successful as Chaparral. He also set up the Jim Hall Kart Racing School in California with his son. There always will be people who think that F1 is all about technology and taking away any of that technology automatically devalues it. The next time someone tells you that F1 has always been more technologically advanced than any other class of racing, tell them about Jim Hall.